Good morning, brethren. I hope all of you are having a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles here in Panama City Beach. I know that I certainly am. I'll just go right ahead and give you the title to my sermonette this morning. The title is Prayer, Spending Time with God. Do you sometimes wish that you had more hours in the day? Do you find it difficult or frustrating to spend time in prayer to God? It seems like we live in such a fast-paced society today that everything just takes precedence, it seems, but somehow we have to push that aside. But let's face it, that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to be caught up in your job, your family, whatever other things that come between you and God. In short, Satan wants to see you dead, spiritually dead. And that can happen, brethren, if you let your prayer life slide. As the Bible says, we must be overcomers. And we have to overcome Satan in order to qualify for God's kingdom. The ways in which we can do this is through prayer. Prayer is when we're talking to God. Another way to do it is Bible study. That's when God is talking to us. And another is meditation. We're thinking on the deep things of God. This morning I want to talk to you about prayer rather than the other two topics. In Ecclesiastes 3:1-9, you don't have to turn there. God says there is a time for everything. In these particular passages, it talks about 28 different things that are mentioned here. But what about prayer? What about a time for prayer? We need to set aside, brethren, at least 1 hour each day for prayer time. Maybe a little more if you have the time, but at least that 1 hour. So how do we get started? If you don't have any physical problems, and some of us do, then it should be on our knees in a deep spirit of humility and deep devotion to our Lord and our great Creator God. After all, we are coming before Him, the great God that created this entire universe. But if you do have a physical problem, God honors it just as well if you're sitting in a chair or laying on your bed. Believe me, He recognizes our faults and our infirmities and our problems. Other times that you can pray to God it's kind of like continuous prayer. You can driving to and fro to work, or you while sitting on your couch. Any number of ways. One of the I always find is an excellent way to do it is get out among God's great creation. Maybe a little stroll through the forest or the woods or the meadows, and look at the wonders that God has created. It is such a marvelous creation, and just pray while you're out there. You kind of feel like you've drawn closer to God. Kind of like David was standing out there, and he says, "What am I that man is such a means something to you, God?" Just kind of paraphrasing here, and we do mean a lot to God. So we just need to remember that when we come to God in prayer. So, have you ever been in the middle of your prayer and drawn a complete blank? I have, brothers and brethren, and just couldn't think of anything else to pray about. Well, here's one way. You probably can think of other ways, but here's one little way that you can do it. Get you some little 3x5 cards. Put you some notes on them, things to pray about. And then that way, when you draw that blank, you can refer to those cards, and you'll find as time goes along, you won't have to use them as much, but even now I still refer to them some because of some things that I want to pray about that I might overlook if I don't have the 3x5 cards. So for the rest of the sermonette, I want to cover some topics that maybe we can all use in our prayer life. I can't think of a better way to start off your prayer than by praising God, honoring Him, and glorifying Him again as our great Creator. If you will, at this time, turn with me to Psalms 104, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 104, verses 1 through 5. Let's see. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light, as with a garment, who has stretched out the heavens like a tent, who has laid the beams of thy chambers on the waters, who maketh the clouds thy chariot, who rideth on the wings of the wind, who maketh the winds thy messenger, fire and flames thy minister. Thou didst set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be shaken. And I could go on that talks about the rest of this psalm, the great things that God has done. But that just shows you, again, how great God is. He stretches the stars out as his handiwork is beautiful. Another way thing to look at, just look at the human body. What a marvelous creation that is. And the brain is better than any computer that man has ever been able to devise. And it controls the body, like the coordination with the muscles, the arms, the legs, the fingers. Everything works in beautiful coordination together. Now, nobody else could have come up with that. That just like the evolutionists say, you know, all this came by evolution. Malarkey. It begs for a creator. And praise God for this beautiful earth that we live on, such as the many numerous flowers. Just take for example, look at those flowers down there. It's like they said Solomon's temple. It couldn't even compare to these beautiful flowers, just not even just one of them. The trees, the fish, the beautiful animals, and the variety of animals that God created for our benefit, and the birds and the bees and many other things. God created all these things for man's enjoyment. What a fantastic God we have that we can come to and worship and pray. In Philippians 2:5, and you don't need to turn there, it says, "Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus." Brethren, we're on this earth trying to qualify to be in God's kingdom. And by asking God to help you develop or take on his holy and righteous character, it's an excellent way to accomplish this goal. Another thing to pray about is to ask God to give you a positive attitude. When you wake in the morning, if you're feeling a little grumpy, tell God to turn that around and start the day off with a positive attitude. And maintain that attitude. Ask God to help you to maintain it all the day long, even through the night. And by praying for ourselves at the beginning of our prayer, then we sort of have a way of getting ourselves out of the way. And help us to get into a righteous attitude, a spirit of humility, so that when we approach God's holy and righteous throne, we can do so in the right attitude. Also, we should be asking God to forgive us of our sins. Every one of us sin. We slip up in spite of how hard we try. But in doing so, when we ask him to forgive us of our sins, let's make sure that we're deeply repentant and that we're doing our dead level best to turn away from committing those sins again. Some other things to be praying about and praising God for is just simple things like the sunshine and the rain. Think about it. If we didn't have those, life would cease to exist on this earth. So just little things that we take for granted every day. And he blesses us in so many ways. Also, we should be extremely grateful to God for sending and selecting a man like Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, a man that was willing to listen to God, to completely yield himself to God. And Mr. Armstrong, through God's inspiration, came and showed us the right way to live. He restored wonderful truths and doctrines and principles that hadn't been taught in the church for over 1,900 years. And we were privileged to be there to hear those things. And now that we're in this Laodicean era, deep into the Laodicean era, I might add, where we've all fell away from those truths, and now we're starting to wake up, isn't it wonderful that we have those guideposts out there that was left by Mr. Armstrong, the way back that points back to the way to Christ and God the Father, so that we can capture those things that we lost, that we let slip away for a while that we shouldn't have? We can thank God for all the blessings, too, that he gives us. Again, such simple things as the food we eat, our homes, our automobiles, many other material things like that that God has blessed us with. And yes, we have to have the faith to believe that God is with us. And he also provides us with that little extra from time to time. I don't think he wants to spoil us, so maybe he doesn't give us too much. And that's probably good, too. Praise and thank God for his love. Just think about that. What a wondrous love. We can't even begin to understand God's love. Our little puny love that we have for one another doesn't even begin to match up. But we should still be striving to show that same kind of love to our brethren and even to the stranger, to others that we come into contact with, our physical families. Everybody, God expects us to be sincere in our dealings with others, to show that loving and caring attitude that he has, and to be merciful to other people, as we expect mercy from God. Now, if we have problems in this area, then we need to ask God more deeply to help us with that, to help us to overcome that. Again, that's one of the things that we have to overcome. And if we do, then our love will shine with sincerity and strength and faith, and everybody will know that you're an example of God. And that's what we want to do. When we're out there praying that God will help us to show the right example to the people in the world. Because if they see a bad example and they already know that you keep that strange religion, they're going to say, well, boy, I sure don't want to be a part of that. If you lack knowledge or wisdom, pray about this as much as possible and ask God to help you. The way you can obtain knowledge is by studying God's Word. We need to spend a certain amount of time in it so that we can have knowledge. We need to ask God for wisdom. And of course, having a deep respect for God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, I think. And of course, I believe, too, the longer you live, you gain a little bit more knowledge. And maybe not in my case, but at any rate, most people. we learn the knowledge that we need to learn, such as Sabbath keeping, how to keep the Sabbath. You may also want to pray for happiness and joy. It sounds simple, but hey, it eludes a lot of people. We don't need to have that happen to us. And if we pray, God's going to give it to us. And we need to pray to God to help us to overcome our fears. We all have fears. A good example of this is the Bible is in Job. I'll paraphrase here a little bit where Job says, all these things have come upon me that I have feared. Could this happen? Really? Yes, it can. The tongue is a powerful weapon. If you say things, I think that you can bring things about. You've heard people say, oh, this is killing me. If they're not careful, it will. So I think we need to stay away from things like that. We should be praying for our national leaders. Ask God to give them wisdom. At the time that we're living in now, even more so than ever. We should be praying for us here in the church. We should pray for our two deacons that we have. Ask God to give them wisdom and understanding. And as I said, pray for the members of this little body of Christ so that we'll all draw closer together and closer to God. You've got to think about it. A lot of us are out there by ourselves, and the only contact that we have with one another is through email or the occasional telephone call. So if we ask God for help there, then we also need to be asking God in prayer to heal those who need healing. And I think that God will do that. If we call upon our healer God to intervene on their behalf, to remove their afflictions, their sickness, and their illnesses, then he will. God is the healer God, and he reminds us, and we need to remind God of his promises, of his healing, and the stripes that Jesus took so that we could be healed. Sometimes we just kind of let go off of our back like water off a duck's back, but it shouldn't be that way. I think that we need to ask God to honor his promises, and God's word can't be broken, so we know that if we do and we truly have the faith and believe, then it will happen. And remember, like it says over in Mark, I think it's 11:23, we must have unwavering faith that when we ask God to do this, because if you come to God and waver, then he won't hear your prayers. And now again, since we're deep in this Laodicean era, as I mentioned earlier, we should be praying for all of God's people, regardless of what group they're in, and ask God to wake them up so that they can return to the principles and doctrines that were established through Mr. Armstrong back in the Worldwide Church of God. Because if they don't do it now, their last opportunity will be in the Great Tribulation. And believe me, brethren, none of us want to be there. And now one other thing, don't forget to pray for your physical families, our husbands, our wives, brothers and sisters, and others. You can personalize your prayer about each of these because you know their needs or wants and their problems. Also, an area of great concern is our website. We need to be praying about that God will be directing this, and that he will also inspire Dan to put the type of messages on there that will catch the eye of people that are coming to it, that God is sending there to bring back to his truth. And we need to ask God to provide a financial blessing for this website so that it can stay in there and be there for those people that are coming seeking God. and also provide enough money to place ads on other websites that would help people to find their way back to God. Okay, also, we are here. We should be praying about the two feast sites that we have this year while we're here, that God will have only peace and joy here, and that we'll keep Satan and his demons away. The two feast sites that I'm talking about is the one here in Panama City Beach and the other one's in South Africa. So if we are sincerely asking God to provide that peace, safety, and security while we're here, then he will do so. I ask that you would pray for an inspiring feast, one that has an overflowing of love and fellowshipping among the brethren. Pray that God will draw us closer together and that none would fall away. We've had some in this little group that have been here before, and they've left us. I think it was a mistake on their part, because I think God is here, and this is where his truth is. But sometimes they get caught up in things, and you can't do that. You've got to keep your eye on the truth. As long as you do that, and you hold fast to those things that God taught us, then that's not going to happen. Also, brethren, I'd like to ask you to pray for the men that have special chores here, such as the speakers that will be giving the sermonettes, those that will be doing the opening and closing prayer, and for the song leaders. And believe you me, I'm about to come to the conclusion that leading songs is probably the hardest job there is. As I get up here, the sweat's rolling down when I'm trying to do the song leading. And brethren, last but not least, don't neglect to keep up your prayers while here at the feast. I know that it's easy to get caught up in all the physical things that we do here, like going to the fine restaurants, going out on the beach, and many other things. But don't let it happen. The spiritual things are still the most important that we can do, and those are the things that we need to remember. We came here to worship God, kind of like in a millennial setting, and to fellowship with our brethren. We must stay in close contact with our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ while we're here enjoying the feast, and I can assure you that if you do, it will be the best feast that you've ever had.